Johnson.
Don't believe what I just saw!
I'm a man! I'm 40!
This is John Sheezer. I'm here.
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No, I gotta tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholics, I gotta...
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral.
Blow from that blue ice. Crack the crap game nice with them blue dice. Like the blunt with the torch and the flame blue. I'm in the fast lane, getting my brains blue. The blue kicks look good with the blue fit. I keep a blue choke chain on my blue pit. Stuff a dove worth of buzz in a blue bag.
Put simply, just amazing. It's going to be an all Houston Royals. It's all about this one game. And we bring everybody in, guys. Thanks for listening all over the world. You know, the listeners keep piling up. They keep tweeting at us. They keep messaging us, guys. Thank you for spreading the love to all your friends. Sportsaholics is growing, and we couldn't do it without you. All right, and it is that time of the week for another special All-Royals edition of Sportsaholics. Guys, this one is just going to cover the game. Wildcard 2.0 is what I like to call it. I have longtime friend, old roommate, who was at the game. Lives in Austin, drove down. Phil Rogers is on this week just to kind of walk us through the day at the stadium as a Royals fan. The moment when I asked him when that moment was, when Houston knew that they were done. And so it's very interesting to hear just how the air just slowly, one hit after another, just slowly leaves the stadium. But a bunch of great stories. And guys, let me reiterate this. If you're going to any of the games, game five, maybe tomorrow, if you're listening to this, you know, maybe they won, maybe they lost, whatever. But anytime you can go to a postseason baseball game, get there early if you can. Just get there 2 or 3 hours early. It's worth it. Just soak it all in. Get your pictures out of the way. Maybe get some memorabilia, some foul tips, batting practice, you know, that sort of thing. So Phil comes on. Phil Rogers, good friend of mine, does an amazing segment with us, just talking about all that craziness. And then, of course, we had to call up our man, Chris Kamler, at the Fake Ned. Read his Royals writings. Royals writings, that's right, at pinetarpress.com. And Chris, again, is a great writer, huge Royals fan, instrumental in that Sungwoo Lee trip over to the States now, which I think is his third trip in the last 14 months, 30 for 30 short. On the silence, or that whole, well, Chris's book is called The Silence, The Series, The Season of Sungwoo, and I do recommend you go out there and buy it. It's a great read for any Royals fan or just baseball fan in general. Would definitely recommend that, but have him. He comes on to talk about the mood in Kansas City right now, his thoughts on the future. We get into a little bit of the, you know, the Chase Utley ordeal going on, and just some predictions about what's going to, you know, go on here. You know, in these playoffs, which have been amazing at this point, as I'm recording this, you know, there's some potential game fives coming up. You know, obviously both ALDSs are going to a game five, which is great for baseball, great for ratings. And it's great for the teams. You get the fans out. It's another opportunity for the fans to go watch the game. And if I could be at Kauffman, I would go. But guys, I was there game one, game two, flew back just for that occasion. And it was magical. Need to show up game one. Shout out to Jonathan and Andy Lavender. Guys, thanks for the hospitality. Met up with some old friends. Had a couple brats. Or no, I'm sorry. I think it was like smoked beef sandwich, barbecue sandwiches. Incredible. Got standing room only, went in. Got some really nice seats. I mean, or standing room. Got a really nice standing area. It was down the third base foul pole line, kind of like mid deck. It's like an open air bar kind of thing, but it's one of those where you get there first, you get dibs. So we got there, made friends with everyone in our section, high fives going crazy. That was great. At that point I went up, had to go see Karen 427, watched the last few innings up there. Shout out to Karen, always awesome, always amazing, very hospitable, tons of hugs, introduced me to the whole crew up there, went and tried to find some of the people that were their intricate parts of last year's wild card group from Section 427. But it was great to see her. Unfortunately, you know, we lost that game. So following, I wasn't really worried moving into the game two. I knew that there were some weird things that had happened. We struck out a bunch of their players, still managed to lose, just couldn't muster up any runs. So moving into that Friday, what I thought was like, you know what, I'm going to get up early, get my head right, get prepared, a nice breakfast, met up with some friends, started tailgating at 11 a.m., which was fantastic. Really just outdid ourselves. Tacos, Billy, thank you. That was amazing. D-Rock, awesome. Just all I can say. Just a great time. And then also got some second row seats. It was incredible. Like when you're that close, which I haven't been too often, it feels like you're part of the game. I mean, at some point, like foul balls come up, and it's one of those decisions where you, as a fan, you say, do I commit to trying to get to this foul ball and run down to I was right by the tarp, second row back. So when there's a rain delay and they roll the tarp out, that's where I was sitting, just on the aisle. So two steps and I'm on the rail. There was one foul ball that kind of landed within about 10 feet from us that was just out of the reach of maybe Rasmus or Springer, whoever the right fielder is, came over. I think it was Rasmus. Kind of looked like a radish kind of gentleman. But but I could easily see how I could have collided with him. If the ball would have come a little bit closer, to the tarp, I would have committed a little bit further to it. Instead, it went like five or six rows back. But a great time. So, Josh, thanks for the amazing tickets. Send me your address so I can give you the rest of that money because, face value is awesome. But, guys, also I wanted to say, Royals fans listening, shame on you who bought tickets to sell them to make money. I saw a lot of empty seats in the upper deck. There were probably 1,000, maybe more empty seats in that stadium. So shame on you if you bought these tickets to try to flip them and make some money and just kind of, it's fan extortion is what it is. So that's what you get for trying to make money on the Royals. You get oversold tickets, and for whatever reason, the time was early. It was a Friday. Whatever. Either way, I made it out there. Shame on you, those that didn't. And you know what? Game one fans that started leaving, pouring out after the eighth, I just started heckling them. I'm like, oh, yeah, there's still baseball. You paid $150 for your tickets and you're going to leave? The game's not even over, people. Just marching out one after another. So those are the same people that shut the game off down in Houston when they're like, 6-2. This game's over. Better just shut this off. Go on Facebook, type, next year, I guess, maybe, #, #Yosted. Whatever your posts were, they weren't my posts. My post was a paragraph of just ha 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 laughing, laughter, hysterics. That's what my post was. Nothing negative. I never lost faith. It looked like a long shot. It was a long shot. 4%, 3% chance, but five hits and an error later, the whole new ball game. All right, guys, when we come back from break, we're going to be with Phil Rogers. He was at the game, woke up early, drove down from Austin, a huge diehard Royals fan, as I like to call 14 years BWC before the wild card game. 14 years prior to that, I knew him as an enormous Royals fan. So, guys, sit back when we get back. Good friend of mine, big Royals fan, Phil Rogers on the other side. 1738. All right, and we are back on Sportsaholics with a good friend of mine, Mr. Philip Rogers, an old roommate of mine, an old college friend of mine. We go way back, and Phil, you're one of the biggest Royals fans that I know, and you live in Texas, and this opportunity presented itself, and guess what? You took advantage of it. You were at the game in Houston yesterday wearing blue. What was that like? Well, where do you even start?
Yeah, no, it's good. So, growing up, I was born and raised down growing up, grandpa teaching me baseball with the actual scratch sheets, but by the way, you never see it ball games anymore. It's kind of sad. But, growing up in the 80s, living in Raytown, going to games in the afternoon after school, learning baseball, watching Brett Saberhagen and Wilson and White.
And Raytown is only like a mile or two from Kauffman Stadium. So, I mean, you grew up right next door to the stadium.
Exactly. Driving by it two times a day, that kind of stuff. And just learning the game of baseball through those wonderful years in Kansas City. So, I may live in Texas, but my roots are deep in KC. And, obviously after last year and the run they made, it's just seeing how great that team is and how Morris built that team back to being dominant and wonderful. There's a lot of excitement And, you know, a lot of people that live in Texas, you'd be surprised, are Royals fans, because even walking through the stadium, I was shocked at a playoff game at 12 in the afternoon how many Royals fans were there. So it was really cool to see people out. And, yeah, like I was telling you earlier, John, if you ever want access to the Royals players like baseball offers, you show up to the opposing team stadium and show up early, because typically they're batting practice right before the game starts. And I walked down, I walked right into Minute Maid Park. I went right down to the dugout and just stood there and, you know, was blessed. I got to see Nolan Ryan standing next to George Brett, just, you know, shooting the can with each other. And Moore comes out from the dugout and starts talking. It just blows your mind. You're seeing, like, legends of baseball standing on the field 10 feet from you while Yost is, you know, on the back of the dugout.
Talking about NASCAR.
Watch a swing, just great stuff.
So walk me through the day. So you currently reside in Austin, which is you know, the acceptable city in Texas, is what I call it.
The only city in Texas, yes.
First of all, I mean, how can your ace be called Dallas and you're in Houston? I mean, that just is blasphemy right there, right? I mean, I got up at
5:45 a.m. I got up at 5:45 a.m. I bought my ticket on Ticketmaster. The moment that they won the wild card game, that Houston won the wild card game, I was on StubHub, and the ticket I was looking at, which was by the Royals dugout, you know, I want to get as close as I can, went from like $109 to $230 in a second. So I freaked out a little bit, but I jumped back on the Royals website, and I clicked on their little ticket for the game. It was through Ticketmaster, and the ticket was still around $100, so I grabbed it immediately and then tried to talk my wife into going to the game later.
Yeah, that's what you can't pass up that opportunity.
Three hours later, you're in Houston. You know, I mean, it's pretty cool living in Texas. You got the Rangers up north, you get Houston. So I get to see some Royals games every year, you know, both sides of town. But, yeah, Austin's the only place to be in Texas, even if we don't have a pro baseball team.
And you got that good barbecue, which you remember from living in Kansas City. Austin's coming up in the barbecue game, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there is no better barbecue than in Austin, Texas. Kansas City, Missouri. I mean, I think they're pretty much just what's your flavor, right?
Yeah,
you know, what flavor do you like? But they both do it the best in the country for sure.
There's a lot of history between Dallas and Kansas City. You know, I mean, the Chiefs before they were in Kansas City were the Dallas Texans in Dallas, and then Lamar Hunt moves them to Kansas City, and of course names the Super Bowl and is pretty much responsible for majority of the success of the NFL. But let's not get on that Chiefs topic right now, because there's nothing really to talk about there. But and go back to the cattle drives in the 1800s, all the way up to like Abilene, Kansas. You know, in Kansas City, you know, there's a lot of history there. But
it's the 35, man, 35 to get all the way to the country from Austin to KC to Minnesota.
Yeah,
it's the heartland.
It's NAFTA approved. Let's just put it that way. That whole. That whole corridor. So you get to the game early, which I always suggest you do, especially in the playoffs, whether you're tailgating, which I did. I got there at 11 a.m. at Kauffman, grill set up by 11:30 for the game last Friday, which I believe was like a 2:30 start. And even that flew by incredibly quickly.
But you're having fun.
Definitely, you get there early. So then you settle into your seats. Now you say you're on the third base side. Is that right?
Yeah, so I was on the Royals dugout side, and I basically was in row 40A, which I didn't know what that meant. But the bottom line is I actually almost had like a balcony seat where I was still on the level where everybody goes down. So I was on the main floor, but the seats were below me a couple of feet. So it was an awesome seat, kind of, you know, I was shadowed and all that kind of stuff. But the coolest thing about my seat, and this was totally random, were all of the Royals family members were sitting in that section in front of me. So Gordo's wife was there, Chris Young's family. It had to be a sister because she was like 7 foot tall and looked exactly like him, but was a female, you know, and her kid. And you could just tell. So I literally picked the perfect section to be in because all of the Royals fans that were at the park, I was in the main concentration of Royals fans because it was their family. So it was really cool. Like when we were going crazy, we were all going crazy together, obviously, by the end of the game. But when we were going crazy, I was like high five, you know, Gordon's son.
Yeah, you're like, oh my God, you're a little 7-year-old Alex Gordon. Yeah, high five.
Yeah, I'm like high fiving his wife, and she's like, oh, he wants a five too. I'm like, yeah, you want a five? so it was a really cool experience, you know, on that side of it too, man. It was mind-blowingly random and awesome.
Dude, that's your reward for being a diehard fan all these years, you know, and that's what.
Amen to that, dude. Amen. You know, last year I wanted to go to the series so bad. I wanted to go so bad, but it just wasn't in the cards. And tickets were so expensive to get into that World Series game. I couldn't swing it. So when I knew there was a possibility of coming to Houston, I jumped all over it. And the Royals fans in Houston are great, man. They really are great people. We had people driving from Dallas, San Antonio. One guy who came from El Paso, which is like a 12-hour drive. So there were some people, Royals fans I met there, where it was like everybody drove to Houston for the game. So it was really cool to be a part of that, too.
And the Royals, I mean, all season long you would hear "Let's go Royals" chants at all the away games. And I know my brother at Cincinnati, there was some lady sitting next to him that's like, "You guys are ruining this experience." And then I'm like, "You should have told her no. The Reds are ruining your baseball experience because we're killing them."
That's right.
But I remember. I mean, let's just go back to college. We Phil and I both attended Graceland University in the prestigious town of Lamoni, Iowa, a town of no.
Very prestigious.
No stoplights and Amish community that's just full of hustle and bustle. And but let's just say even back in 2000, 2001, it was not uncommon to see Mr. Rogers here wearing a Kansas City Royals hat, shirt. It was just, you know, it was part of the trade. And so, you know, I just wanted to mention that this isn't a new thing where you're like, "Oh yeah, I've got roots there. Let me just, you know, represent Kansas City." No, it's been happening.
Absolutely not. The hat that I wore to the game, I've had since college. So what was that? I graduated. So like since 1998, the hat that I wore on my head to this game, the same hat, well worn, torn in the right places, smelly like it should be, and a lot of heart behind it. So yeah, there's no bandwagon here, baby. This has been a long time coming.
Yeah, as I like to call it, that would have been 14 BWC. That's 14 years before the wild card game.
Yes. Amen to that.
So, okay, so the game starts. Let's just skip right to the eighth. You're down four. Back it up to the bottom of the seventh. Correa hits that second home run. Everyone's going nuts. And first of all, the boomstick. Okay, what year is it? 2002. You can't do the boomstick thing anymore. That's just, you know, it's got to be authentic sound. Was that kind of annoying? Like, I just want to.
The boomstick was a total boo. So I heard people talk about that. Were there, you know, the night before is when they actually passed the boomsticks out. So you could tell the people that were there the night before had their boomsticks at the stadium this night. They actually gave a towel. I put it directly into my bag. I kept it as a souvenir. I don't know what to say about that. Maybe that's not right.
No.
But I definitely wasn't waving it in the air. But the people with the boomsticks were incredibly annoying with them because they wore them with pride in game four. Because, again, it's like, I would say that before I got my boomstick. So they were smacking them around in totally inappropriate places. They were trying to teach others how to use them. I agree. Or as far as flashbacks go, like Back to the Future, really cool flashback. Boomstick, not so cool.
No, it's got to go. I mean, I understand, like, I was here the night before when I went to the game last year in San Francisco. I made sure and brought the towel from the games in Kansas City that was like, "Hey, I was at the wild card game. Here's the towel that proves it." You know, I definitely played that card. But so they're all going crazy. You're like, "Okay, great, the boomsticks." And then at what point was it the third single, the fourth, the first run, the second single, or maybe Alex Rios actually getting on base that they were like, "Whoa, something crazy is happening here"?
I literally looked at the guys next to me who obviously were Houston Astros fans, and I said a couple of things. The first thing I said was, you know, "Man, this has been a great series. You know, I don't know if this is going to happen." At that moment, I kind of texted my wife like, "Hey, you know what? The day's still been so amazing. I got a ball from Gomes. I got to see, you know, my boys take batting practice. It's still been such a wonderful day, you know, but my heart really does break when they lose." So I wasn't feeling great. I really wasn't feeling very good. I was kind of down. I'll admit it. And I was talking a lot of trash about Rios. You know, I thought he kind of moves like a snail, in my opinion. That ball kicked there in the third where it scored two runs. I thought maybe only one should have scored. So I was, yeah, he struck out three times. I'm talking trash about Rios.
He's our number nine hitter. I mean, he's Paulo. He's a poor man's Paulo Orlando at this point. But that's a whole nother discussion. another discussion.
And I miss Nori. I miss Aoki Doki. You know, I think, you know, having him as a fielder. Of course, you miss Infante. I would put Gilbert in right. He would have been playing. I mean, there's a lot of things, right, that we're dealing with because of our injury situations and not being able to harness people. It is the nature of the game these days. But I was really down on Rios. And, of course, after Madsen came up and gave all those runs, I'm like, dude, Madsen wasn't even our guy until like a month ago. Like, this guy isn't a real Royal. He's a Renna pitcher. You know, I'm talking crap about him. And then, you know, little Rios gets up there and hits himself a little knock. And I'm just like, all right, you know, it's Rios' time to shine. Let's get this thing going. And then, you know, it was the quarter and the merry-go-round. Just the next one. The next one. The little, you know, quote-unquote, air up the middle. And the next thing you know, like, even all the family members of the Royals, we were all down. Like, we were all down. You could tell, like, young sister's face was, like, in agony. Like, because who knows if Young's even going to play next year. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
This was his shot. All these, everybody's feeling it. We're all feeling it. I'm texting my wife. But then they score the one. Then they score the other. Then they score two more. And the stadium at this point, John, they're putting, you know, get louder, Houston, on the board, and nobody's saying anything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, defeated.
Like, they can't even pump the stadium up because they're all in such shock at what's happening. It's bases loaded. There's no outs. And, you know, Gutierrez up there, I'm like, dude, that should be Perez if he didn't get knocked out by that foul tip. You know, and we're yelling, Drew, at the top of our lungs. And I started the Let's Go Royals chant in Houston Stadium. It's one of my proudest moments of my life, John. I stood up. It's right there. The crowd is dead. And at the top of my lungs, I yell, Let's Go Royals! Start clapping my hands. The Royals fans rose to their feet. They started the chant along with me. And like three Let's Go Royals in, the Houston fans are pissed. They are pissed off that we are chanting in their stadium. And they take it over. Because, of course, we're outnumbered by, you know, 40,000 people.
Right.
It was a pretty awesome moment, man. It was one of those moments where, you know, you feel the game change, you feel the things change, and we were tied at that point. But it was just such a cool feeling. I still was, like, pinching myself at this moment, going, I can't believe this is happening. And I'm looking at the guy next to me, and like, can you believe this is happening? And he's like, this sucks.
You're just having the greatest time ever. Oh, that is great.
I was going crazy. Like, I literally was ripping my hair out, going crazy. And this is the coolest part of the day. And so random. I wish I knew the dude's name. I know his last name is Marsh. But because I'm going ape shit, literally, he looks at me and he goes, you are a real Royals fan. I'm like, yes, I am. And he's like, you want to come up to the front row with me? And I was like, yes, I do. And he grabbed my hand, and we marched out, and he had a seat in the front row right next to the dugout, right next to the cheerleaders. So I got to watch the rest of the game right at the dugout.
Was that the guy wearing the George Brett jersey?
Fabulous.
Was that the guy in the George Brett jersey?
Yes, the guy with the glasses and the George Brett jersey. He's there with, like, his sister and his mom, I think.
So did they leave? Because it was like a bunch of kids, and then you're like, I'm with the guy in the Royals shirt. I'm like, the George Brett jersey guy? Because then
the George Brett jersey guy.
See, that's him. So you're like front and center for in Royals history when they replay this game. First of all, when the game's tied in the eighth inning, at the point when you start hearing faintly in the background a Let's Go Royals chant. And this will also tip it off. You'll hear a Let's Go Astros chant, which is going to drown out the Let's Go Royals chant. This man started chant. It's in history.
It's there.
And then
it is in history. I pissed off a lot of people.
Oh, it's the best. And then, okay, so then at that point, they take the lead. And is there still hope going into the ninth? Or, like, walk me through that scenario. Hosmer has not yet hit his two-run bomb.
He hasn't hit a two-run bomb, but we were up by one. And I knew we had the advantage. Even the guys I was talking to said, you know, here's the deal. I'm not going to say Ned gave up on game three, but when we were down 4-1 against Kutzel in that stadium, and the odds being what they were, you know, I know a lot of people might have been mad he put in Duffy, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But in Ned's mind, I'm thinking, the dude wants to bring this back to the K, and he wants to win it at home, and he knows he can do it if he plays his cards right. And I think he held up I think he waited to use Davis. I think he waited to use Herrera. Because I think we're going back into the series, back at the K at home, with everybody. I'll say he's got his hand hit. Perez is going to be. I mean, everybody's dinged up, right? Everybody's dinged up.
Yeah, it's this time of the year.
You got it. But the Astros are worn out.
Yeah.
Has pitched six games in a row. The closer last night, John, pitched two innings, threw 54 pitches in two innings.
Yeah.
I mean, they are worn down.
It's fantastic.
I think if anything, he can't start Cape. He's definitely going to probably have him pitch from the fifth inning on.
Yeah, Keuchel, they'll pull some David Price, type stuff with him.
They totally will. They're going to throw everything in the kitchen sink at us, too. But even us versus them, with all of that being said, I think Ned's a genius, man. I think he's really played this series well to win and to bring it home for Kansas City so we can all celebrate together, man. I really believe that. And Haas was due. Haas was just doer than due. And so was Moose. So was Rios. Like, all of our players are just due. You know what I'm saying? I think it's all just coming together right at the right point. And it kind of happened with us last year in the wild card game where these guys, we've always been a streaky team since the coming of the, like what you said, after the wild card game. So I think we're going to take this one, man, but not just take it. I think we're going to take it with a really good stride going into the ALDS again.
Yeah, you know what? And look, it's not about game five. This whole talk is just about that one specific game, which will go down as arguably the best, or if not tied for, the wild card game for the best. I think the stakes obviously the same, but it's one of the best ever. And you got to be there. And if you ever see a game even remotely close to this again the rest of your life, you'll be lucky.
Yeah. Oh, dude, there's no way. I don't think I'll ever see a baseball game. On TV, maybe, but not a random, how it happened, how I got there, everything I got to experience. And the way the Royals won was just, it was unbelievable. The entire ballpark was in shock. It was like the only other thing I could explain, I was at the game in Michigan where Cordell Stewart threw that Hail Mary pass and Colorado beat Michigan. In the final second,
and
it was like 80,000 people went silent, and there was like this little teeny crowd of Colorado fans ripping their hair out. Like, I'll never forget that. I was maybe 15, 16 when that game happened. That was the same feeling in this stadium. Just shock. It was shock, and you could feel it over the entire place. They didn't know what to do. People were trying to get them to chant. Nobody was chanting. They were just sitting there with these looks on their faces like they all had golf balls in their mouth. Just,
we
couldn't believe what was happening. Yeah, and I was going crazy. I was going insane. I had to look like the biggest idiot in the world.
No. You look like the most brilliant person in the world is what you look like.
Right. I love you, John. I love you. That's right.
Well, hey.
But it was, man. It was one of the greatest games of all time. It has to go down as one of the greatest games of all time. It's definitely one of the greatest comebacks of all time, for sure, in a playoff game.
Well, it makes up, like I said, last year's and now this year's. That definitely makes up for 29 years of all that stuff that we had to go through. And if nothing ever else happens again for another 29 years, I'm fine with that, because I've seen two of arguably the greatest playoff games in history, and they didn't even happen more than 365 days apart, or 372, or whatever the math is, barely a year apart.
Unbelievable. And the bucket list has been checked off. I don't think I will ever be able to see a better baseball game than that. I really don't. It's like, okay, baseball, I still love you. I'm still cool. I'm always going to be a fan. But I've experienced probably the best game I've ever experienced in my life.
Yeah, well, never say never, but, man, you were there. And hey, thanks for coming on and chatting us up, man, and being a diehard Royals fan.
Much love, John. Hey, take the crown. Let's go Royals Nation.
Yeah, hashtag take the crown to the hunt for Blue October.
Love it.
That's it. Well, hey, man, stay obsessed, all right? We'll talk again, all right?
Cheers, brother.
Phil, thank you. Thanks for coming on and sharing. That was awesome. We need to catch up. I haven't talked to that man in a long time. So that's what's great about the Royals right now. It's like we're connecting friends that haven't talked in years. And that's what baseball is all about. It's about, that's what makes it a great sport. You're always down, never out. There's no clock. You never know what's going to happen. It's three outs. And sometimes, you know, if you're not diving for balls or you're not making full effort, you get penalized. You're like, you know, that's why you got to hustle. That's why when people don't hustle, teammates get upset. And that's why the Royals are great, because they hustle and they're never out and they're never down. And what Chris Camlin and I, who, like I mentioned earlier, at the Fake Net, great guy, amazing writer, very funny. Read his work at pinetarpress.com. We're going to go into this interview with Chris, and that just, he just kind of sums up Royals baseball. You know, he's a diehard fan. And I want to say, I've heard rumors of there being grocery stores in Kansas City where Let's Go Royals chants break out in the aisles. And that is unbelievable. So if you're somebody that's at the grocery store buying sodas and chips and salsa or whatever, and you're chanting Let's Go Royals while you're at the register, good for you. I appreciate that, and I know the Royals do too. But when we get back from this break, on the other side, we'll be talking with Chris Camler, PineTarPress.com, at the Fake Ned on the social media outlets. Guys, we'll be back. All right, and we are back, and this, again, is a special episode. It's strictly just talking about what happened yesterday. I'm calling it Wild Card 2.0. We have Chris Camler from PineTarPress.com at the Fake Ned, The Silence, The Series, and The Season, a Sung Woo author. Excuse me, that came out kind of weird. Chris, how are you doing, man?
Good, John. How are you, man? It's getting crazier and crazier every time we talk.
I just don't want to stop having these conversations because it seems to be working incredibly well. Whatever is happening, I know everyone's doing their part with superstitions, but how did that happen yesterday? I mean, there's no way in the world that we just witnessed an almost equally as improbable game comeback in the eighth, down the same amount of runs. The only difference this time, we got them all back plus one in one inning, as compared to last year where they split it up, you know, between the two innings, and then had to overcome it again in the 12th to eventually win. But how did it stack up, man? I mean, is it the same? I don't want to compare them. One's better than the other, but what are your thoughts on it, man? How are you feeling? Are you even breathing?
It took me a while yesterday. We were, a lot of us were at work, you know, just like most of the country, you know, with a goofy noon start time here in Kansas City and even earlier out west. You know, I would imagine there, a lot of folks were at work, and as was I, and I had just come out of a meeting, the eighth inning happened, or the seventh inning happened. I was like, well, that's it, you know, and everybody's just flaming. On Twitter and whatnot, and you know, we were all pretty much done with the team. And then the eighth inning started, and I had to go to the bathroom. I didn't want to move. I stayed in my chair for the next 90 minutes. I didn't go down to the break room where they had an actual television. I was listening on the internet, and it was electric and crazy. There were people, probably 30 people, huddled around the television in our break room. They were screaming and hooping and hollering, and just following it along on Twitter was a lot of fun because you had the entire gambit of emotions from, you know, jumping off a bridge to you know, climbing Mount Everest. It was absolutely crazy. And, you know, while it wasn't at home, you know, I still think last year's wild card is near and dear to my heart, but you can't argue that this team has a knack for coming back late in crucial games.
Well, and you know what? Let's not forget that it's what happened Friday at game two, which I was able to go back. In the last episode, I was recording it, getting it up online as I was heading to the airport to fly back. But, you know, to be at game one, they lose. No big deal. I wasn't worried. A lot of people weren't. But then game two, to be trailing and to come back. And I think it was the sixth inning, I think, is when it happened. But, you know, still overcame some adversity. The crowd got into it. The crowd was going crazy. And it was just a subtle little reminder, like, oh, yeah, this is – we can do this. And when it happens, everyone just goes crazy. And then this becomes the loudest stadium in baseball. Don't forget that the Chiefs fans, these are the same people, have the loudest stadium record or whatever in Arrowhead. It's 50 yards away. It's the same people. There's no reason they can't just bottle that up and unleash it at Kauffman. And so you're starting to see that and get glimpses of it. And I think tomorrow, when, you know, listeners at home, this will be, you know, regardless of what happens, if you go back and watch that game that's going to take place tomorrow, the crowd is going to be uncontrollable. I mean, you're going to see so many people are not going to be sitting down the entire game. And I wish I could be there. I'm not going to be able to. Chris, is that going to be something you're going to be able to work out?
I have three tickets in my hand for myself, my wife, and my son. There's a little bit of drama here at my house because my son got a concussion on Saturday playing baseball. He had a kid not slide and hit him, knock him out, really, at third base.
Okay, so you know what?
He's a little sensitive. What? Go ahead.
I saw this. I saw your post, and I saw the pictures and the stills. My first thought, I'm like, you know what? If Chase Utley doesn't do this last night, this kid doesn't do. I mean, it was the exact same thing. And I don't know what the circumstances of the game.
It was garbage, but so he's a little sensitive to light and noise. if this were a game in early July on a Tuesday night, it probably wouldn't be that big of a deal. But we're sincerely concerned that it might be too loud and too bright for him. But I think he's going to go anyway, and he's going to have kids someday, and he's going to want to say that he was there tomorrow night because it is going to be incredible. And you never want to say things are 100%, but the confidence level in this town, and it's been an emotional week here for a couple other reasons as well, but the emotions are running really high right now, and I think it's certainly something you're going to want to tune into to watch.
Yeah, no, it's going to be – I really feel bad for Houston. I mean, it was done. I mean, it was clearly done in their eyes. Yeah. The celebration, obviously, to go up four runs, there in the seventh inning. But it's one of those things where I don't think you come back from it. Because, I mean, in your mind, as a player, you've already like, oh, man, hopefully the Rangers win so that we can just go to, travel up to Dallas. Then that way we can get an extra travel day. I can stay at my home three extra nights, and not have to fly to Toronto. That would suck. So like all the players are already like making these travel plans in their heads as the game's not over. And then to have that snatched away, and it's AJ Pierzynski or I forget who, or Smoltz or whoever was announcing was like, oh, six outs away to the ALCS. And then 20 minutes later, they're like, okay, well, the Royals are now winning 7-6. It was just,
And a special tip of the hat to the governor of Texas who tweeted out in the seventh inning, congratulations to the ALDS champions, in which they quickly deleted it. But there are plenty of Dewey versus Truman, Dewey defeats Truman comparisons around here. And there was a picture of Jose Altuve slumped over the railing in the ninth inning.
Yeah,
I looked at that, and you see the dead eyes, and you see the look of exasperation, and I immediately remember, and John, you're probably too young for this. You're a little bit younger than I am, but there's a picture of in the 76 playoffs of Freddie Pate sitting in the dugout at Old Royal Stadium, just with his hands and with his head in his hands. And it reminded me a lot of that, just that we're done, after Altuve's face, and I was listening, I told you I was listening online, and there was a problem with the Kansas City radio feed, so I was listening to the Houston feed, and in the
oh, that must have been even better. That's probably even better.
The top of the ninth inning, the guy said that you could drop a pin because so many people had left and they would have to open the roof to to get the air back in the place, and it was just there's no way you come back from that. There just isn't. And all Johnny Cueto has to do tomorrow is just go out there and shove, and I think it's going to be just fine.
I mean, Hosmer was due. Everyone's due. And I mean, the fact, you know what? Maybe I was yelling at the TV to Alex Rios there. I go, look, everyone in Kansas City hates you. And they have a good reason to hate you, Alex. But guess what? Yeah. If you get a hit right here, all will be forgotten. All will be erased if you get just hit the ball into the field. And then somehow they just start spraying the ball everywhere that the Houston defenders weren't. And to be completely transparent here, there were a few times where I thought Carlos Correa could have gotten at some balls. I know they praise his defense, but there were a few where I'm like, mm-hmm. You're not even going to dive for it? I mean, it kind of seemed like it was in your area. I mean, at least sell it a little bit. Was that something that you noticed mm-hmm. at all, or am I just kind of nitpicking here?
No, it was, and they were mentioning it on Sports Talk this morning that Correa, there was one about two plays before his error, I think that was Correa there also, that
yes, correct.
That he could have gotten to. I forget who made the error, but there was a play about two plays before that he could have gotten to, and just kind of, you know, sandbagged it and whatnot. It's a pretty, I mean, my son even mentions that he says it's a pretty cocky team. You know, there's a lot of swagger to those Astros, a lot like, you know, the Royals had last year. But it's
hard to, because, okay, Gomez, easy to hate. And I mean, the fact you had AJ Pierzynski talking about how hated he was before the game or during the game. And that's saying a lot, because I hate AJ Pierzynski. I mean, there's just something. I mean, at least at this point, he's lost like his golden tips, you know, so he has a normal person haircut, not like a boy band from the 90s. You know, he looks like a halfway decent 39-year-old or however old he is. But to have AJ Pierzynski say that people don't like you is saying a lot. That people really don't like you, and I don't think the Royals. And I am biased, but I don't feel like the Royals had anybody like that. I mean, you could argue like maybe Gerard Dyson, but everything he did was kind of fun in spirit. It wasn't really like it didn't seem mean or, you know, as brash. Is that just a complete homer view of things?
No, Pierzynski, ironically, I kind of enjoyed his analysis on the broadcast yesterday. I rewatched it some this morning and listened to it, but he's hated it. Just as you know, mentioning the name Chase Utley will forever have some sort of recoil in New York or something along those lines. But you know, I think it's really just getting back to where the team had success this year and last year. You know, this is not a team that's going to be able to go toe-to-toe with some of the great home run-hitting teams in baseball. This is not a team that's going to be able to outslug anybody. And you saw them try to do that for four and a half games. And as soon as they got back to what they were doing, just ground balls, just base knocks, hitting it to the opposite field, driving it through, making the other team make mistakes, forcing those mistakes, you know, that really is Royals baseball. It's pitching and defense. And, you know, when you got Wade Davis, who, good Lord, can go for two innings now, oh, my goodness. You know, all you got to do is get close late, and you're going to be just fine. And this team forgot it. They forgot it because they had such a layoff. They enjoyed, you know, kind of banging the ball around and goofing around, I think it's finally clicked in. And Eric Hosmer is a big credit for that, because it sounds like he really locked in the last two at-bats there.
Well, and look, it's not at their fault, because it's easy to be like, you know what, it's nice playing team ball, but can we, you know, maybe increase our stats a little bit, make those look a little bit better? Because they didn't really have the best stats ever. Not that they blew people away this year, but, you know, you had Morales with over 100 RBIs and Moose right there at the end of the season. You're like, oh, maybe he gets hot and actually gets to 25. And, you know, Hosmer, I don't know what his power's weird. I don't understand it. It's there all the time, but not really used that often. But, you know, so you don't blame him for trying to do that. But as soon as they brought, I call him little T, Terrence Gore, into the game, I got so happy. And I was like, I think that's what started the vibe, if you will, because he steals second. And then all of a sudden they're just like, wait, we did this last year, remember? And then once we get on base, their pitchers freak out, and they don't know what to do, and then we take advantage of it by just putting the ball in the field. And that's exactly what happened. And then, as A.J. Pruszynski said, I think in the eighth inning, you just keep them on base, and then you just wait for a double or something that clears the bases or a double play until it's over. But until then, yeah, just hand that baton on, just keep it going down the line. And I think that's really the best way the Royals can approach any game. And I think hopefully they'll continue to do that, get, like, you know, at least 2-3 steals a game, because if they can get second, Gore's gonna get third every time. He just, that call was complete, you know, BS. He was completely safe. He was being touched by his wrist. At no, the ball wasn't even close to his body in the first place. And arguably, he got pushed off the bag. So I'm going to say he's 5-for-5 career in the postseason, stolen bases.
I would tend to agree with you. It was certainly would have been the play of the series had the eighth inning not happened. But, yeah, we're going to have to look back on that one and review that. I think there's I'm one of the last guys that's a big proponent of instant replay, and that's even pretty difficult for me to sit here and try to defend, because you're dealing in a whole bunch of baseball nuance there, and you're ruling, you know, 2 or 3 ways wrong, and that's not good.
No, and it's just kind of, yeah. Yeah, it's, I don't know. It just, I lost my train of thought there where I was going.
It's crazy times out here, man. It's nuts.
Yeah, no, I found that picture of Freddie Patek, and he's definitely got the long 70s hair, and he's in the dirty dugout with his hands just buried into his head.
Yep.
Yeah, I pulled that one up. Yep. No, it's exactly the same Altuve, just complete defeat kind of vibe there. But, I'm happy you're going to the game. I talked to a couple people that are going. You know, it's going to be exciting, and, you know, it's not in the bag by all means, but I think Cueto, if he just go ahead, give up a couple runs, I think offensively they could start clicking and just get the old team back again, because it's fun to watch, and it's a much more exciting brand of baseball.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's been a real whirlwind 24 hours here in town. You have the Chiefs laying an egg on Sunday, and losing your star running back. You've got the Royals that lost Sunday. You've got this incredible game on Monday. About an hour after the game ended, two Kansas City firefighters lost their lives in a big fire structure collapse here in town. And so that's been weighing heavy on everybody's minds. Kind of reminds you that, there are things bigger than sports here. Today, the Royals are taking batting practice with Kansas City Fire Department shirts and hats on, and so tomorrow's going to be extremely emotional one way or the other, but I'm pretty confident I think we can get past the Astros tomorrow, and then we'll take our chances with suddenly a Blue Jays team that looks beatable and or another Texas team, and we'll just kind of keep going down the line, and maybe we'll face off against your Doyers or the Cubbies in the World Series, but we don't want to get ahead of that yet.
No. I mean, as long as it's not St. Louis, I can never root for anything good out of Ferguson.
No, it won't be St. Louis.
Yeah,
I guarantee you.
The Ferguson Cardinals. I just refer to that area as Ferguson now. never forget. Never forget.
Fantastic.
So, but Chris, amazing. Thanks again, and I really do think, you know, this is a good thing. It's brought nothing but success in the past, and listeners at the Fake Ned, pinetarpress.com. Thanks for your time, and we'll talk again in a couple days, all right?
John, anytime, man, and hey, as long as we're still talking, that means we still got baseball to talk about. Exactly.
Absolutely. Hey, well, you have a good one, and we'll be in touch soon. Stay obsessed, all right?
Freddie Patek, Cal McCray. The 1980 pennant brought a royal cheer. I'm talking baseball. Willie Wilson, Georgie Brett, royal baseball. Akins, Tom Poquet, Leonard and Gura throw the pea. Darryl Porter, whoops, he's in St. Louis. Talking baseball in KC. Talking Royal Baseball, Jim Colborne,
And for those of you listening, I'm sorry that it's all Royals, but this is what I'm really passionate about, and we are going to put out a regular episode here in the next day or two that won't be all Royals. But for those of you in Kansas City listening, welcome to the show. Thanks for listening. It's, you know, tell your friends, go to Stitcher, go to iTunes, go to John, J-O-N is here. com. You can find the episode there. We usually post songs from the episode, different things like that, videos at johnishere.com. And guys, always go to One Lovely. If you need any shirts printed up, designed for anything, they'll do it, and they do a great job of it. On top of that, they have a lot of custom, I call them one-offs, it's like very limited Kansas City shirts that they only run, you know, 20, 30 of, but they're incredible. They got a bunch of Royal-based shirts you should check out. Go to onelovely.com. That's L-O-V-E-L-Y, onelovely.com. Phil, thanks for coming on, talking about Houston, taking the air out of that whole state. And Chris, thanks for your time as well. Hopefully we'll be talking to him again here in the next coming days, celebrating. But we'll see. Not to get ahead of ourselves, not to send out a tweet like the state, the governor of Texas, which I didn't realize was paralyzed. I really was going to really go off on that guy until I was like, wait, he's in a wheelchair? Man, I can't really say too much bad about him. But it's kind of weird because apparently he was hit by a tree while he was jogging after a storm. And that's definitely, I mean, that's horrible. But it's just one of those things where you got to say to yourself, you know, maybe there was a huge storm that just, maybe even a tornado, whatever would be strong enough to damage a tree where limbs would be falling. But he's lucky he didn't die. Now he's the governor. But now he's got to run his own Twitter. You can't have your office running your Twitter because no one wants to hear that's your excuse. Like, oh, I didn't send it out. It was my staff. My staff sent it out, and I'm apologizing for sending out that tweet congratulating the Astros on the ALDS victory. But we'll see. Again, this is just all about that game, guys. Thanks for listening. At Sportsaholics on Twitter. You guys are the best. Stay obsessed. We'll talk soon. Willie Wilson, Georgie Brett, Royal Baseball, Akins, Tom Poquette, Leonard and Gura throw the pea. Darryl Porter, whoops, he's in St. Louis. Talking baseball in KC. Now when you're talking Royal Baseball, Jim Colborne, Rich Sheinbloom, the waterfalls at Royal Park where Brett attacked the 400 mark. Busby, two no-hitters, one. Kansas City, here I come. '81 wasn't all there. There were strikes and billy ball there. But once again, a brand new season calls. New names join the old. Another team unfolds. They'll answer the bell with blue and UL. So let's play ball. I'm talking baseball. Willie Wilson, Georgie Brett, Royal Baseball, Akins, Tom Poquette, Leonard and Gurith throw the pea. There's Wathenden, Geronimo White and Lee. I'm talking baseball. It's baseball in KC. Baseball in KC, 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 baseball, KC, 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 well, Gossage throws, there it goes, KC, 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 talking baseball, a pennant in KC, 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 KC. Oh, Will is the one, just never the one, it's a blur. KC, 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 talking baseball. KC, 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 you got some crazy.